First, the Republican and Democratic National Conventions are both in the rearview mirror, but the way those candidates were chosen at their respective conventions and the way the parties organize and direct themselves affects our national political landscape. Our guest has looked into some of the rules and the politics behind how parties choose their convention delegates from each state, and he put together some of that research in a piece for The Conversation. We're talking about it right here. John Turris is a professor of political science at LaGrange College. John, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much, Keely. Happy to be here.
Start by reminding us who these delegates are that we're talking about.
Okay. I looked at both the Democratic and the Republican National Committee, and they would have a series of conventions. These are about picking the nominee for president, and the delegates, I guess, would also be picking the vice presidential nominee, or when selected, they would ratify the selection. Now, what happens is every state is, in theory, awarded a certain amount of delegates, and I thought, they would be based on population. So bigger states would have more delegates. That seems to be rational, right?
Sure, I'll go along with that. Not so,
though.
This
whole thing started, believe it or not, this whole thing started over close to the time Georgia had its primary. My sister-in-law, who's a physics professor, asked me to explain it to her daughter, and my son joined over, and he's about the same age. And so I was telling them about that, and I showed them a map, and I showed the delegates, and they looked at it and said, wait a second, Georgia has more people than New Jersey, and yet New Jersey has more delegates on the Democratic side. So then I checked in Michigan, where my mom's from, and I'm like, wait a second, Michigan has smaller population than Georgia, and they have more delegates. And that night, as my wife drove home, I pulled out the laptop. Normally I drive, but I said, I got to check this out. And I looked at all the states, both political parties, and I saw some big disparities. And I thought, wait a second, I always thought it was one person, one vote. But when it comes to the parties, that's not the case.
So are there a finite number of delegates that are allotted and then each party handles it differently, or how does that work?
Well, believe it or not, I had evidently a lot of learning to do, since I assume like everybody else. And whenever I mentioned this to other people, they said, oh, yeah, I also assumed it was close to one person, one vote. And I tried to look up the rule books, and these rule books can be anywhere from 40 pages long to 165 pages long, which explains this intricate formula for why Wisconsin has a certain number of delegates and how many Minnesota gets and how many Missouri gets and so on.
And maybe this is a good point to clarify that the delegates we're talking about, these are not the same as Electoral College electors.
Correct. But they are pledged to vote for a certain candidate. So when you cast your votes in that controversial election in Wisconsin, you're voting for, let's say, Biden or Sanders or Klobuchar. And then delegates, in theory, are based on how many you win. And some states have very complicated formulas for who wins and who doesn't. You should see Iowa's. And then, in theory, those delegates go to the convention, which in theory was supposed to be in Milwaukee, of course, for Democrats, and Charlotte for Republicans. And then they would officially cast the votes for a nominee.
So as you're looking at this and learning along with us, what are the political links then between how states vote and how many delegates they're allotted by the party?
Correct. Instead of being about population, in a nutshell, it tends to be how loyal are you to your to the political party. So in other words, like New Jersey, among the Democratic Party, they elect more Democrats. They vote for the Democratic Party in stronger numbers than in Georgia. So therefore, even though New Jersey has a smaller population by a million or two, they will get more delegates than Georgia.
Why?
So it rewards party loyalty.
Mm-hmm. So then what about those states that, I don't know if we can still use this, but that we've classified as purple? They're not solidly red or solidly blue, but they're somewhere in the middle and can go either way. Does that mean places like maybe Wisconsin have less influence on a political party nationally?
You know, you bring up a good point, Keely. I think that this is something, a missed opportunity for both parties, because for the Democrats, the bluer the state, in theory, And there's some exceptions, like Wyoming, for example, because of their small population and the formula, they get overrepresented. But the bluer the state, like, say, Vermont, Rhode Island, Delaware, they'll have more of an influence than the purple states, and definitely the red states. So states like Texas and Oklahoma, Utah, wouldn't get much representation among the Democrats. And for Republicans, blue states and purple states have much less influence than red states.
But even among the red states, for Republican, you write that a place like Montana has more weight with the Republican National Party.
That's right. And so what will happen is the nominees who are picked, and it's not just the nominees. I think the delegates also vote on the platform, and they vote on the rules, such as this one. And so it becomes like a basketball game of make it, take it, when whoever made the basket last gets the ball back instead of giving it to the other side.
We're talking with John Torres, who's a professor of political science at LaGrange College. We're talking about how the way states choose delegates mean that some have more influence on national political parties than other states. And we're digging into that. We've also got a question from Ray in Milwaukee. Hi, Ray.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the show. And I just learned something very important in your guest's last statement that I had no idea that it's about loyalty. But what I wanted to bring up was the comparison between the Electoral College, the way we vote for the president, and this ridiculous delegate system, the way we vote for our nominees for each party. As you remember, in 2016, Bernie Sanders was thrown under the bus by the Democratic Party, and the delegates that were supposed to vote for him during the nomination process, you could see them crying in videotapes because this system is so ridiculous and unfair. It should be one person, one vote for the primaries and also for the election, and until that time, we are never going to be properly represented. You know, I'm not voting this year because of what happened in 2016. So
thanks for sharing that, Ray. And John, what do you hear in Ray being so frustrated by the system that Ray says not going to vote?
I think that that's one of the weaknesses of this is you mentioned the Electoral College, and I did some numbers on the Electoral College, and it's the state with the most representation. Wyoming, followed by Vermont, they have about a 4-to-1 ratio of delegates per capita from the most rewarded state to the least rewarded state. Now, in the delegate system, the disparity is much bigger. In the Democratic National Convention, the state with the most per capita was 14 times more. And 13 times more, or excuse me, 3 times more in the Democratic primary and 18 times more in the Republican primary when you go from the representation. So the Electoral College, you're correct, is not fair. Some states get rewarded by it more. I was shocked at how much more the disparity is for the Republican and the Democratic parties and their delegate selection process.
John, is it possible either party would reform their delegate allotting system, or is this just what we've got?
Believe it or not, I kept thinking, and in fact, I had an editor tell me, he said, well, when did this start? And I kept going back every election to 2000. And sure enough, every time I found it, you found similar disparities. And I guess those 163-page rule books are the reason why people just assume it's a fair process. And much like Ray, they may be getting wise to it, saying, wait a second, you know, some states are being overrepresented, others are being underrepresented.
What might the incentives be for either the Republicans or the Democrats to make a change?
I think the party that loses, or even if a party wins and doesn't win by very much, or they feel like they have to do a little soul searching, they should take a look at this system where they can see that, like you said, purple states or reaching out to Democrats, let's say reaching out to Georgia, which is a red state, which might be shifting toward the center, and say, why didn't we win more there? And maybe give them some more representation. If you just do it based on population, you can reach some states like Georgia, or the other state that gets underrepresented is Texas.
John, what an interesting thing you've discovered and thought more about. Thank you for joining us with what you found.
Okay, I appreciate it very much. Thanks, Keely.
John Torres is a political science professor at LaGrange College. We talked with him today about some of his research into the politics of how political convention delegates are allotted to states and how those numbers impact the parties as a whole.